Blog Talk Radio.
Well, there you go. Some mesmerizing riffs from Eric Jude, who did the intro music to the Star Chamber show. Welcome. It's episode 102, and a very exciting show tonight, for sure. And we've got back with us the man who cannot be imitated, the one, the only, Michael West. Daniel Dark.
Hey,
and
everybody.
Holly Phillippe.
Hello, hello.
How's it going, guys?
So the four horsemen and women of the apocalypse have gathered, and creative workspaces is the theme of the show, but we'll do a quick roundabout here just to catch up with what everyone's been up to the last week as creatives. So, Michael, since you are back with us, you kick it off.
Not a whole lot, other than, you know, trying to get some more work done on the finale of the Legacy of the Gods series, which work is ongoing. It's slow, but it's it is ongoing.
A whole lot,
so.
Other than, you know, trying to
somebody's got the show on their computer. Turn it down.
That would be me. I have all kinds of technical difficulties.
Tisk tisk. Go ahead, Michael, after that terrible
Do I really sound like that?
Yes, you do.
You don't sound like an echo, though, Michael.
Yeah. So you have been hammering away at the latest Legacy of the Gods book. That's what you've been immersed in.
That's what I'm trying to dig it down, yes.
Well, that covers quite a bit. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah, don't apologize for that. That's fantastic. As long as, you know, you're not just sitting there for 4 hours staring at the computer, and when you get done, there's, like, no change in word count whatsoever, as long as it's not that kind of situation.
That's we're good. That's every other day.
Every other day. Oh, Lord. Well, tonight you're going to be definitely a star of the show with the Creative Workspace talk, but I can't wait to get into talking with you about yours. But, we'll go, I guess, to Daniel next to talk about his creative week. And I definitely, before he starts, though, I want to commend him because he did a fantastic appearance on the Ripper podcast. And I'll let him talk about what it was, but he just did an amazing job, and we are going to be posting and promoting that link on the Star Chamber Show social media and also on Seventh Star Press social media. So be on the lookout for it. It's the Ripper Show podcast, and Daniel Dark was on it, and he did an amazing performance. So, but that is one thing I want to hear from you about, and then tell us about your week.
Rippercast is a show from – they do them out of London and also around – different parts of the world, and they have conventions and things on Jack the Ripper and the Whitechapel murders. And the show that I was on Ripper fiction, and authors that write Ripper fiction. There was several of us on that show, and they invited me to be part of that cast, and I was honored to be, you know, be part of it. The show is on casebook.com or casebook.org, and it is Rippercast, and if you look it up on Facebook, is where you'll find it.
And we will be sharing the links for sure. Yeah, definitely.
The other part that I've been working on this week and everything, there's a few things that I'm working on that I can't talk about. Some very very big things in my life that I can't talk about yet. But then finishing up, trying to, like Michael, trying to finish up a book and trying to make sure that I've got it the way I want to, and doing some editing and stuff this week or this last week that wasn't expecting to have to do. But got all that done, and then been trying to do a podcast of my own and everything, and have been reading some crazy book by the name of Cinema of Shadows. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it or not.
never heard of that one before.
And by some guy by the name of Michael West. He's a crazy author. I don't know, I don't know about
what
him.
What a hack.
But the book has been very good. What I've read of it so far, I'm trying to get through it.
Well, if you put it down,
been trying to do some readings from it today, and for some reason I keep getting a bunch of static back on my equipment. And I haven't figured out exactly what I'm doing to
it's
get
just
that
the
back.
Spirit.
So.
No, the joys of tech problems. Yeah.
So, I'm sitting there working on that all day today, and couldn't get a correct reading, or be able to get a sound quality that didn't have static in it. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to quit this for today, and I will get back to it, tomorrow again, and see what I can do again tomorrow. But I was just like frustrated with it today.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta walk away, before you break something.
Yeah, before I grab the equipment, toss it up against the wall and stuff. So, but like I said, I've got some other projects that I'm working on that are not necessarily writer related, but they are, along with my cooking and stuff that I cannot discuss at this time. It's too big a news to discuss at this time.
Non-disclosure agreements. So yes, we know about those.
That's right.
But we've had a busy week on my end. I definitely will let Holly chat about her end of it. But we got faster internet service, which is a godsend for us as creatives, because we do the YouTube show and of course everything with the press and lots of large graphic files and video files. So we finally got faster internet, and that was a bit of an odyssey because we had older wiring in the house where we live, and so there were some the tech people were here a bit longer than we'd hoped, but the end result is we do have faster internet finally, and so it's that's a godsend, and that goes along with the bad side is I had one laptop melt down a little bit back. The good side is I've got the new war machine that's I'm really excited about, because this thing can just scream when it comes to video rendering, and so all of it together, the faster internet and that, it just helps with the workflow, and I know a lot of creatives can relate to that when you get new gadgetry like Daniel with his podcast system and so forth. When you get those new pieces that really help make your work go so much faster and better, it's a glorious moment. And we definitely give a shout out to the book blog community, because I've been knee deep in getting ready for like 8 blog tours from 7 Star Press, literally 8. So it's a bit of a chore, but it's a good chore. And get to work with a lot of new faces in the book blogging community, and I'm really excited about that. And Holly's gonna be working with them too, and got a lot of exciting things to bring to the press. We even had a great meeting with Tony today of Hydra Publications. We had a good lunch with him today, as a matter of fact. And it's always good to touch base with our peers in the industry and who are also friends. And covered some good Imaginarium stuff. And then writing wise, I've been on a good groove. I got half a dozen new short stories that are pretty close to finish, and four are Raiden Valkyrie Adventures. 2, however, are Ragnar Stormbringer Adventures, and those will be the first 2 fiction pieces with the character that I debut in the TV pilot that's being played in the TV pilot by Brock O'Hearn. I've got the first 2 short stories done, so I was really pumped to kind of get in his head as a character in a literary project and do a couple tales And I know Mike and Daniel and Holly can relate. Yeah, it's fun when you, you know, really connect with a character and really, you know, get the groove and so that did hit pretty strongly. So it's kind of fun. It gets to stay in Raiden Valkyrie's world, but just go on an adventure Ragnar style. And he's very different from Raiden. He's not quite as compassionate. So he's a little more hard edged. But it's a fun, definitely have been a fun trip. And yeah, those are nearing completion. So it's been a good week creatively, and yeah, been in my creative workspace, which I'm going to talk about, and been a good flow there. So that's me. So it's been, yeah, busy week all over. So, Holly, what about you? Cause you do different things. You don't just do what we do together. You got all kinds of stuff brewing.
Yeah, I do my, not only I got the 7-Star Press stuff, take care of that, you know, with the Imaginarium and all this. We had the meeting with Tony today and went over some things. And yeah, we've got some exciting, you know, things up for this year because it'll be year 5 anniversary year, which is exciting. So we got to make
year
it
10,
you know,
year 10 of 7-Star Press. So it's a double anniversary.
Yeah, so bigger and better than ever. So yeah, we, you know,
which makes it even more amazing that Michael's been with us for 50 years. So, you know, that's just such a, yeah, you know, we're
that's impressive.
But yeah, we got those anniversaries.
And then, well, I take care of my, I still don't have my website. I got to get my website going for my Holistic Holly Healing Helpers, you know, my organic body products I make. And I'm brewing up some new things in that avenue too. And I also am looking into maybe doing some teas. I spoke with a tea lady many, many months ago. Just haven't got that collaborated yet, but she wanted to, you know, put some herbal teas and different things on my site. So do like an affiliate thing. So I've got that brewing too. And then today was just, yeah, busy, busy. And like he said, you know, we got new internet now, but we had to get a dishwasher this week. And then the kitty cat, it's got to go to the doctor in the morning. So yeah, we've got all kinds of things running around, going around, and yeah, fun, fun, fun. But yeah,
see,
I'm
folks,
sitting
don't
in my workspace right now.
Life happens. Yeah, life happens.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been able to create anything.
Dishwashers break down.
Yep.
It's, yeah, the creative's world is just as exciting as anybody else's world. It's
yeah, I haven't created anything new this week. Well, I can't say that. No, I've made some Pinterest posts and different things like that. I'm actually sitting here working on one for Daniel right now as we speak. But, yeah, it never ends. It never is. We squeeze in work time whenever we can. You know, this week has just been crazy. But yeah, my work area right now is our office. I actually have my corner here, and we have a couch in here and stuff to lounge on if we don't get a chance to do that. But I have two computers sitting in front of me and my desk all around me, and Steven sits behind me, and yeah, so he gets to look at the back of my head all day. So that's about the extent here. I'm surrounded with vampire pictures and you know, all my little different stuff like that. Yeah, but that's my workspace. Now, eventually, I plan on cleaning out a part of the garage where I can do work with pallets. I love to build stuff with pallets. So I'm working on getting me an area down there to where I can, you know, get back to work with my pallets and make shelves and coffee tables and different stuff like that too in my spare time. Ha ha. But yeah, that's my creativity. I need to create. I've got to make stuff with my hands. I love making stuff. So that's my thing.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. Tonight's topic, as we mentioned before, is the creative workspace. And that is, as Holly mentioned, you know, it can be a different, it could be more than one spot in your house or wherever you do your creative work. But it's the place where, you know, you do the magic. And And if you're a artist that does like sculpture or painting, things like that, or if you're a writer,
mm-hmm.
or if you're even a filmmaker, I mean it's the place where the magic happens. And there's so many different approaches to a creative workspace, and there's no right answer for what's the best one. It's very personal, it's very individual. And so I think the best way to start the discussion maybe is exactly what Holly was doing. She was describing one of her creative workspaces, and then mm-hmm. also mentioned that she actually is one of those people that will have two, one where she does her creative writing and things like that, and then the other one mm-hmm. where she does her hands-on crafting and palette building and things like that. So she's got two workspaces, and I think Daniel's well, each of us can talk about it. Michael's, oh my God, Michael is definitely going to be the star of the show with creative
yeah.
workspaces, because he's got one hell of a workspace. But I think maybe that's the best way to start it, is just to show you the diversity of creative
mm-hmm.
workspaces and use each of us as an example. So either Michael or Daniel, if you guys want to tackle that, or Tali. Yeah.
I think before they get on it, it also oozes, because it oozes out to other parts of the house. Because when you're creative, you usually don't just do one thing, That's like in our living room, for instance. But one end of the living room is Steven's guitars and everything. And then on the other end is my rocking chair and my bass guitar set up. And we got amps, on both sides and everything. So it is in the kitchen. I've got my essential oil stuff in the cabinet and different, because I make stuff with essential oils and stuff too. My kitchen witch thing. So, yeah, I think as a creative, you ooze out into different parts of your house. Wouldn't you agree, guys?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Like with me and everything, I cook, and my kitchen is part of my creative workspace.
Yep.
And then, like if you walk into my office, I think the one thing that shocks most people is I haven't afforded bookshelves yet, so I've got stacks of books about 4 foot high that go all the way around my office.
Hey, I can build you some.
Yes. And I've got my stand up desk that I have with a bar stool chair instead of a regular chair. And that way, if I get tired, I can sit down. If I want to stand up, I can stand up. It's got my, mic stands on it and headphones and all that, and, another lamp. And but my main creative space is a backpack that I put my laptop and notepads and whatever research material I want for that day, and I go out to, hop on my bike or something like that and go out to the lake or to a river or wherever and sit there and work all day, except for, like when it's 20 degrees outside, it's a little bit harder to do, but
right.
But that is where I like to work at, is outside.
You go to some cool places, though, when you're inside.
Yeah, a lot of people can't do that. There's too many distractions for them to work outside. But for me, that's a stimulus for me to be able to work. And I will eventually have me a little house out here to the side of my house that'll have windows in all four sides, or French doors in all four sides, where I've got plenty of ventilation, plenty of light coming in, and plenty of view for all the outside to sit out there and move my office to out there. So when I get up out of bed in the morning, I can actually leave the house and go to my office to work. And,
oh, that's cool.
And still, and that way, it's a psychological thing for me too, that
mm-hmm.
once I,
mm-hmm.
if I stay inside the house, a lot of times, as a creative, we can figure out other things to do besides sitting down and doing the work that we need to get done.
Amen.
Very cool.
But if I build me a building out here next to the house, little 12 by 12 building, then I can have me an office in there. I can sit out there and just have it dedicated for me to have a place to go and work every day, so I can spend 8 hours,
nice.
You know, doing what I need to do.
Right.
Instead of, you know, other things. So, but yeah, that's pretty much what I've got. If you walked into my office and everything here at the house right now, you see a lot of like an antique pendulum clock on the wall, you know, top hats, you know, pictures from the 1800s, you know, books from the 1800s, you know, stacks of books, you know, from all time periods, basically, of the modern days. A lot of, about 1,300 cookbooks. and, you know, different things like that in here, so. But.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if Daniel, Steven, had papyrus from the library at Alexandria. He probably does somewhere in there.
It's true.
Not everything.
It might be. I don't know for sure.
You'll have to go digging.
Well,
that's awesome.
Well, as far as me, I mean, Michael's definitely gonna be the grand finale, and I'm just gonna say that up front.
Oh,
I
God,
mean,
yeah.
Definitely the grand finale.
Yeah.
I'm very deliberate. Yeah, I'm very deliberate, and I'll give you my reason for it. My workspace where I do my screenwriting and book writing, it drives Holly nuts because, frankly, it's a mess.
Uh-huh.
I love having created a mess. I'm surrounded by, like, CDs and vinyl. It's a desk that has an ancient Mac. This thing literally is about 18 years old, works beautifully still, and it's not hooked up to the internet. It's 100% my writing computer. That's it. I only write on that computer, and it's a room where on my bookshelves I'm surrounded by Lord of the Rings action figures, that's at my foundation and my inspiration, things like that, little fun stuff in that regard. But I got piles of vinyl CDs. I mean, it looks like, you know, yeah, I'll admit it, it's a mess in there, but that is the room
where I do
it's an
OCD nightmare.
Where I do my writing, though, and only my writing. I don't do any business in there. I don't do any other kind of work in there. It's 100% a writing space. And when I turn the music on, it's not.
And nobody else goes in there.
No, I'm. Well, yeah, I've
dubious
snuck in there and slept a few times, but I do. I keep it as a bubble, and we live in a suburban neighborhood, and so it's you know, you have noise, you know, outside and things like that, and so what. My music, what it does is I love the energy of music, but I'm not listening to lyrics. I'm not focusing on it. But what it does, it actually creates a like a bubble around me when I write, and it kind of blocks out
heavy metal.
Outside sounds. Like if Holly is doing stuff or anybody else doing stuff in the house, it doesn't get in there. People are outside or vehicles are going by or kids are playing or whatever's happening. It insulates me from all that and kind of just keeps a constant around me. And it's and the energy. I mean, I do tend to kind of tilt towards certain kinds of music based on the kind of scenes I'm writing. You know, no, I've mentioned this before. I listen to Slayer quite a bit when I write my Hellscape stories. So that fits perfectly as a soundtrack there, just for a easy example. But I do listen to music when I write, and it's and what it has done over time, it creates like a Pavlovian kind of effect, where when I go in there, it's like my brain snaps into creative mode, it snaps into writing mode. And even, you know, not saying that every session I have is just some big, like, you know, thing where just the words just flow like magic, you know, and I get, you know, 10,000 words down. No, I mean, there's times where I really have to relook, you know, go over things again and really think through word choices, things like that. But it does get me in a writing mindset when I'm in there, and that is because, I mean, that is the spot where I do the creative work, and I know that, you know, when I sit down in a chair in front of that particular computer in that particular space with, you know, with music, it does something, and it has been wonderful in kind of knocking out writer's block kind of issues and things like that. And so for me it works, and it's not necessarily what everybody, you know, is going to do. But in my case, it's been a really, really good fit for me. So that's my writing setup. And now, with no further ado, I'm going to turn this over to Michael West, who has the writing workspace of workspaces.
Well, when I first started writing here in the house, when I was in college and started writing my first stories and novels and whatnot, this was back when they had dot matrix printers and floppy disks.
Oh, yes.
The glory of that.
On the modern day, huh?
The dark days of the late 80s, early 90s. So I would go to a computer lab, and I would have my little my Walkman with my headphones on, and I'd just be listening to music and typing in the computer lab because I didn't have a personal computer at home, and I didn't have I wasn't accustomed to writing on a typewriter as much as I was on a keyboard at the computer. And I've never really been able to write longhand. I know Tim Wagner and some other writers I know that,
David
write out.
David Blalock, he's one.
Yeah, they'll write their whole story or their whole novel longhand. And I can't do that. Number one, I've got this thing with holding a pen or a pencil. I hold it weird, and I've tried all my life really to correct that and to hold it right, but it doesn't feel right to me in the proper hold. And so I mean, it works for me, but it makes my hand cramp fairly
well.
Fairly
it's a
quickly,
good thing
so.
That you were born the time you were and didn't have to do calligraphy.
Really, tell me about it.
Well, see, and then I had the problem. I was the son of a professor, so my handwriting, you need a hieroglyph translator to decipher it.
Yeah, and I'm a nurse. You can't read mine.
Right. Well, yeah. Stephanie can decipher my writing because she reads doctor's handwriting all day. So my wife.
Hey, she can read mine then.
But so that's how I got my start, really, was just in a computer room, a room full of 50 PCs, and they loved me because I would print out my novels that I was working on at the time. So this is back when you have a ream of paper whatnot.
Oh gosh.
But yeah,
did
so
you
that's,
use
that's
WordPerfect
my...
or what did you use? Do you remember the software?
I can't even remember the software. It was the writing software that was available to students at the time. So I don't really remember what it was, but it was probably an early version of Word.
Yeah. Oh God. I almost can remember what it was called. Oh God. But WordPerfect was a big one back in that time period. WordPerfect.
Yeah.
I remember that was
WordPerfect.
That was at my school. But
yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm an 80s geek, Michael, so I have to ask that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, I grew up when we didn't have those type of things, so it didn't matter.
That's true. They're wedding computers.
And then, this is kind of a long roundabout way to get to where I'm going, but it also plays into why a dedicated workspace is important. So I was in a public area, and that was what I used as my writing area. And I know a lot of writers that will go to Starbucks and whatnot, and they that's their office. They'll go to Starbucks or they'll go to the public library, and that's where they stake out a space, and that's their office. But I've done that before, and I can actually get quite a bit written with my laptop at a Starbucks with my headphones on or whatnot. But back at the time, I was printing out. At the end of the day, I would print out everything that I wrote because it was a public space, and if I wanted to work on it, do corrections, reread, whatnot, I didn't have a computer at home, so I had to print it off and take it home with me to do the editing, basically at home. And so what happened was is that I had written the first third of what would one day become Poseidon's Children. In this fashion, and everything was stored on the floppy disks. And
wow,
I lost my floppy disks.
Oh no!
Oh
yes.
Oh.
And I had given the printout of Poseidon's Children, the first third of it, to a friend in Bloomington who was going to IU, and I gave it to him to get his opinion on. I'd kind of passed it around. I'd given it to my girlfriend at the time and some other people to critique, and then I'd given it to this friend in Bloomington. Well, he would move frequently. And so he's like, I have it. I know I have it, but it's in a box somewhere. So I'm like, okay. So then, then I got into video production, working for educational television, doing what I was actually, going to school for. I did writing of scripts for the programs, but I kind of got away for a while from the creative writing aspect of it, the novels and the short stories. And it wasn't until my oldest son was about three and my youngest son was on the way when my friend calls me up and he says, hey, guess what I just found? And I'm like, what? And he goes, I found the first third of that novel that you gave me once upon a time. And I said, you're kidding. And so he brought it up to me. And at that time I had I live in a four bedroom house, but one of the bedrooms is, I don't know how they can even qualify it as a bedroom, because if you put a bed in there, you really couldn't walk into the room.
Literally a bedroom.
It's meant to be like a nursery or an office, really.
Yeah.
So we had it as the quote unquote computer room. And I had some bookcases in there, and I had a little desk with an archaic, well, at the time it was top of the line, but archaic computer. So he brought it back up to me, and I started rewriting it in there and using that as my computer room. But it was also basically a storage room. It's like we would pile stuff in there because we were making nurseries for the kids. We were doing all this stuff. And so it was basically the junk room, and amid the junk was a desk and a chair. And that's where I started writing my short stories that ended up getting published first and whatnot. And, so then the two bigger bedrooms in the house were reserved for my sons. Well, fast forward to the point where the junk overwhelmed the desk and the archaic computer went kaput and moved into the laptop phase. Well, then my creative workspace, my writing area, became the bar downstairs. So I would be in the family room, sitting on a bar stool at the bar with my laptop, and that's where I wrote. And I would have the TV on with usually music videos or some movie that I'd seen like 100 million times, or I'd have my headphones in, and that's where I wrote. But there again, it's not a private space. It's a public space. You've got people coming and going, and it's not really conducive to, put your headphones on, but it's still not a place that you can really focus.
Right.
So when my son graduated from high school and went off to college, I said, I'm going to turn his room into my office. And I had it planned how I was going to do it and whatnot. But he's like, well, I don't want you to do that because I'm going to come back in the summers. I'm like, okay, all right. So finally he moved out.
And it's on.
And it's on. So I started, and Stephen knows, has known me long enough to know that for the last 10 years, I've been doing conventions now for this will be my 11th year that I've been doing conventions. And I meet a lot of people at conventions and I get a lot of stuff signed. So I've got, you know, over the years I've amassed quite a collection of you know, when I was a teenager and my room was my creative space. All the walls were covered over in posters and whatnot, and that was what, you know, fueled my creativity was the posters of the movies I liked, and I had a large like cabinet record player where I would play my film soundtracks and whatnot, and that's where I would that was my creative space, and so I've always said that I wanted a room that kind of mirrored that, but more, you know, in an adult way, instead of, you know, posters tacked to the wallpaper, you know, nice frames
up there.
And nice frames and whatnot. And so I planned everything meticulously. I went and I found every, you know, online or various locations, well, not all the components that I wanted for this office. And, almost exactly a year ago, we quote unquote broke ground, began, you know, taking all the stuff that my son had left here, and putting it into storage or what he didn't need or want, we took to Goodwill and whatnot, and just clearing the space out. And then we, you know, did the painting and the flooring and all of that. And basically the color scheme is the walls are called Chinese red, but they're a very bright red that actually they match. The red actually matches the red in the title on the Dawn of the Dead poster, so that I have. but yeah, the walls are red, the floor is black, the trim is white. I have a coffee bar. I have gargoyle shelves that jut out, and I hold my 18-inch movie figures of all the horror icons. I've got Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th, Ash from Evil Dead, Chucky, Freddy Krueger, Pinhead, Michael Myers, Leatherface. They're all on gargoyle shelves.
You have that creepy doll, too.
I have the Annabelle doll, yeah. She's sitting. She's still in her box right now. She's staring at me.
That's good.
As we speak. She's still in her box. But I'm trying to find an actual display case that I can put up. That actually I'm gonna put the little sign in there that the real doll has, where it says, you know, do not open under any circumstance. You know.
That's awesome.
So I have an end table that's a skeleton doing a contortionist kind of pose, holding up a table. I have a life-size human skull lamp on the table. I have a skeleton butler that holds up my coffee cup for me while I'm writing, and I have a 3D television. I have probably the best thing that I purchased for the whole room is a fireplace. Because especially this winter, this room is in the far corner of the house, and it's cold in the winter. So having this fireplace has really, really been nice. But, you know, it's just basically I tried to think of everything that I ever really wanted or needed in a room, and I put it in here. So I've got a, you know, and, you know, people have seen pictures of kind of the components of it. I'm waiting until I have everything exactly the way I want it before I post pictures, because I don't want to post pictures and say, this is done except for this, or this is done except for that. You know, I want to wait until everything is just done before I give everybody the full tour. But, but it's, you know, it's basically, I tried to think of everything that I wanted, or everything I always dreamed of having, in you know, my room, you know, back when I was a teenager, my room as a teenager, I wanted the adult version of that. And, I've been lucky enough over the years to meet, a lot of the stars of movies that I grew up with in the 80s, and been fortunate enough to have them sign a lot of the posters that I had, gotten over the years. And so all, you know, everything in this room is signed. You know, it's just it's and I have track lighting that sets off the signatures and whatnot. So, you know, I can come in here and I can, you know, usually when I work, I like it very dark. I like it very dim, very dark. I have blackout blinds, so that it can, you know, it can be, the sun can be, you know, full on shining in every window in the house, and but in here it's like a cave. So
right,
nice,
right.
Yeah. So it's you know, and you know, speaking to what Daniel was speaking of earlier, it is easy to get sidetracked sometimes, and you know, get to a point where you're having a writer's block, and you say, you know what, I'm gonna binge a few episodes of Daredevil, or I'm going to, you know, put in a 3D movie from 82, you know, or whatnot, and get sidetracked. And I do that sometimes, but more times than not, that kind of breaks through that wall and gets you back to thinking about what it was that you couldn't get past earlier. So.
Right. Right. What you come in there to do in the first place.
And I must say that I've got a 7.1 surround system in here.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
And the remasters of David Bowie's greatest hits.
Nice.
When they went in and remastered those, they remastered them so that different components of the songs come out of different speakers.
Wow.
And
oh, that's cool.
It is amazing.
That
I'd
is
love
awesome.
To hear it. That's awesome. Yeah, that's neat.
But yeah,
then
so
comes
that's...
the day when Michael drops a slice of pizza and it begins to move because part of his floor is a Ouija board and the pizza is actually what's going to point to all the different letters.
Yeah, I always joke because my dog King Caesar will come in here and he'll roll around on the carpet. So I always joke that I don't really come up with these books. I just transcribe what he.
Yeah,
he's bringing through.
He's
channeling.
He brings through on the carpet. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we need to do a video tour and have Robin Blankenship maybe host it of the Michael West works.
Yeah, Robin was one of the first outsiders to actually sit in my chair.
Yes.
She was visiting for Horror Hound last September and said I have to see the chair. So I said, okay, come over. So
after the ordeal you had getting the chair, my God, I mean, got there.
Yeah,
we heard that story.
Well, for those who haven't heard the story, as I said, I picked out every component and everything I wanted for this room. And so I wanted I didn't want to have a desk. I didn't want to be behind a desk because I've been behind a desk most of my life, and I wanted a chair with that I could either have my laptop on my lap or that it had a tray, like a swivel tray on it, that I could put my laptop on and do it that way. And I found this chair that is a black leather chair, power recliner, with the tray. And I said, this is perfect. This is everything I wanted. And I saved up for it and I ordered it. And this was in June of last year. And I had wanted to pull the trigger and get that ordered because I had it picked out, and I finally had all the money saved up for it. I said, I'm going to get it. And my wife said, no, you're not going to get it because we're going on my last year with part of my Christmas for myself, my wife, and my son was that my mother had gotten my grandmother before she died had done this, but the entire family, all of my brothers, all of my sisters-in-laws, all of my nieces and nephews, everyone, we got tickets to Universal for last summer to do an extended family vacation. It's the first time that the entire family had gone on vacation. So
nice.
this was about the time that I had saved up the money for the chair. And my wife said, you're not getting this chair till we get back from vacation, because I'm not going to be stranded on the highway in Georgia or whatever, because we don't have any money because you spent all the money on the chair. And I'm like, all right, okay. So the moment that I think it was the moment that we hit the interstate line, I got on my phone and I ordered the chair.
Nice.
And you know, it's a theater chair company, and so I was really surprised that they contacted me like the next business day to go over the order and make sure the order was all right. And I said, yeah, so that was everything, because you had to get the tray separately and all that, so I wanted to make sure that I had everything all together. Well, so I get an email that the chair has shipped. And this is right around 4th of July. I get an email that the chair has arrived in Indianapolis. So I'm like, going, oh, great. So they're going to contact me now, and they're going to deliver it, and this is going to be great. Well, time went by, and I said, well, it's the 4th of July holiday. They're probably backed up. I'll give it a few days. Well, a few days became over a week. And then I get a call from the chair company asking, you know, hey, we're just checking to make sure that you got your purchase and that you're enjoying it and whatnot. And I said, well, no, I don't have it. I said, it's been sitting here in Indianapolis for a week now on the dock, and nobody's contacted me. And they're like, oh, we'll get on this just a second. So then they don't contact me, but the delivery company contacts me and says that they've had the chair and they've been sitting on it because the swivel easel the swivel tray that the laptop sits on is a separate piece, and somehow that got separated from the chair, and they were waiting on that to arrive. And they said, do you want us to go ahead and deliver the chair? And I'm like, hell yes, I want you to deliver the chair.
I want the chair.
So I made arrangements for them to deliver the chair and whatnot. So I'm here and I'm waiting, and you know, this has been, you know, going on for weeks now at this point. It's been going on for like 2-3 weeks. And they come and they deliver the chair and they get the wrapping off of it, and I see a white streak on the arm, and I said, oh, some of that wrapping that they took off just stayed on the arm. So I go to like take it off, and no, it's ripped. So I have to decline the delivery because I'm not going to accept it. Because he said, basically, you got two choices. You can either accept the delivery and we go around, you know, you keep this as a loaner until we get the other chair, or you can deny the delivery and we just take it back. I didn't want to accept it because then how do I know that I'm ever going to get the the real chair?
Right.
So I declined the delivery. But I made the mistake while they were getting stuff taken apart and taken back of sitting in it. And I'm like, oh, this is so nice. I want to keep this chair. But then that day I'm on the phone with the company and I'm like, yeah, hey, they sent this to me. It's ripped and whatnot. Long story short, it took another about 2 weeks and a different carrier to finally get the chair.
God.
But
what
I had
a nightmare.
Chair. It was all hooked up. So yeah. So Robin knew about all this. So Robin's like, I have to see this chair. So she came over and she sat in the chair. Next thing I know, she's sitting in the chair. Selah, who came with her, is taking pictures of her in the chair. Next thing I know, Robin's profile picture on Facebook and other social media is her sitting in my chair.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And she likes that chair.
She does like the chair.
Oh, yeah, right? She did. Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
So it's you know, it's been the running gag between us is that she made my chair more famous than me sitting in my chair.
Yeah. Oh man, that's awesome. So about your workspace, Michael. Oh, sorry.
Yes. No, go ahead. Well, I was just gonna cap that off by saying that it wasn't too long after I got the chair that I finished writing my first short story in my new creative space, which was The City Will Eat You Alive, which we released around Christmas time and was named one of the best short stories of 2017. So
yeah,
the creative
space. So the
space
chair did its
off.
Magic. Yes.
Yeah.
It was
King,
worth all
King
the trouble.
Pointed out the right letters on the Ouija board. Or
that's right.
And if you don't know, King Caesar is Michael's dog. Yes, that you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Yes. All my.
We'll have to have a novel co-written by Dubious and King Caesar. That's the next project.
That would be something to behold.
Cats and dogs united. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah, Daniel has a dog too, so there you go. Got it going.
Peacemaking and literature all at once. It's beautiful. I'm feeling warm and fuzzy now.
Well, Casanova's fuzzy anyway, so.
Yeah.
Well, see, he'd be good at his tidbits since he's around Jack the Ripper all the time, you know.
Right.
He's seen a lot.
What I wanted to ask Michael, though, is the dynamic that I've come to have in my workspace, is do you find that it is also happening with you when you walk into that room where you work? Do you find your brain kind of snapping into a certain mode now that you have a dedicated spot? Do you see that happening?
Yeah. I mean,
that's curious.
I
that
mean,
happens
it,
to
it,
other folks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's most definitely. I mean, it's like other rooms of the house, like you were saying, used for other purposes. You know, you can do a lot of things in a lot of rooms, but to have the dedicated place to go and to write and to brainstorm and to work out different story issues and different character issues and it helps like we're talking about having, like Daniel was talking earlier about a speaker that he got for his music and my speakers and whatnot to have a place where you're just surrounded by inspirational music that helps you kick off kickstart your creativity.
Right.
It's kind of like osmosis. You know, you're enveloped by the things that you love, the things that have always inspired you, the things that have have basically, you know, shaped you since childhood, you know. And it can't help but to get something going up there, upstairs in the old noggin.
Right. No, it's definitely, I think, I definitely think, yeah, when you do have a dedicated space, I really think that for a lot of people, they will find that it does work like that. It does definitely get into that kind of mode.
Everybody has their own little thing, you know. It's so diverse that it's ridiculous how diverse it really is. You know, what works for one doesn't work for another. Now, when if I sit down to write, I like quiet, or I have to play, you know, soothing music or nature sounds. I love those and the nature sounds. I drive poor Steven nuts if he's in here in the office. And I have to endure that.
My wife always says that we can never be retired together because, you know, when she's home, she likes to be in the bedroom with the blinds all open and the Hallmark channel on the TV or whatever. And and I need darkness and like film school.
The Hallmark channel
or
right.
Yeah, not the Hallmark channel inspires many things, but fear usually is not one of them.
Yeah. Not yet.
That's funny. Right.
But what do you think is essential? What do you think is essential for a workspace? I guess that's a good topic. I mean, for me, it's just the fact that, one of the key things is that it is very personal. It's 100% me, as far as like the kind of stuff I have there. It's very personal. It's 100% personalized. It's not an amalgam of the household. It's definitely,
I
said, very laser focused.
Well, one of my favorite movies of all time is Somewhere in Time. And when Christopher Reeve is trying to go back in time, one of the things that the expert who claims to have done it tells him is that you have to surround yourself with things of the time period. You can't have anything that's going to throw you out of believing that you're there. You know, you have to envelop yourself with everything that's going to make you think that you're in the narrative, the time period. And that's really what a creative space should do. There should be nothing there that throws you out or interferes with your creativity. You should be surrounded by things that just kind of, foster that that inspiration, that thought process, that help you just totally be in the zone. And there should be nothing there that distracts you or takes you out of that zone.
Right. Yeah. And for the record, Somewhere in Time is one of my favorite Iron Maiden albums.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
But yeah, no, I do know what you're saying, Michael. That's one of the key things is that it's the environment that you create an environment and it really is what's conducive to the creative kind of process. And now I'd like to hear what Daniel has to say about it because he, in terms of environment, because he's going out in the public and he's doing his creativity out there in, an unpredictable setting, because you don't know who's going to walk by or whatever. But how does that work for you, Daniel?
Most time, I mean, unless I wind up being in a coffee shop or something like that, I've got different places that I go that when I go there, it's pretty secluded. A lot of the places that I go to, when it's out in the nature part of it, it's like one place that I go, it has a waterfall there. It has a creek. It has, a big stone and everything there that I can set my laptop up on and sit there and work on, or I can just sit out there with a notepad and write, because I still do longhand and use a dip pen and stuff. So, you know, I'm getting up to the, you know, the fountain pens and stuff. So,
yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of places that I go to that, you know, McDonald's and places like that. If you're going into McDonald's and you're a writer,
please don't go into McDonald's.
And you're trying to get any work done at all, you know, because they've got quote free internet there. You know, you're probably wasting your time, because every time that I've ever been in there, people want to come up and talk to me for whatever reason.
Well, yeah.
You know, out of the blue, you're sitting in there, you're trying to do something, and you want to put a sign up: I am friggin' working, leave me the hell alone. But
but you look like you stepped out of 18, you know, 90. So of course they're going to want to talk to you, Daniel.
Yeah, but you know, that's beside the point. You know,
iconic characters: Ronald McDonald, the Hamburglar, and Daniel Dark. There you go.
Yep. But some of the coffee shops and stuff that I go to, people don't really bother me there.
Mm-hmm.
And the cigar shop that I go in, if I'm going to write at, it has an upstairs office and everything that I can go up there and smoke cigars.
That's
write,
really cool.
Stuff like that. And then, you know, my shed out back, I've got a table and chair in there that I go out and sit outside and open up the doors of that. If I don't want to be sitting, if it's too windy or something, that keeps the wind off my computer or my pages, you know, so they're not blowing. But my favorite thing is, like I said, going down to the lake or going to one of the rivers or out to, you know, this one special spot that I go to that has my whole creativity file in that spot. And that, you know, that is one of the places, you know, waterfalls and stuff like that. I like listening to the water and letting them
mm-hmm.
tell me the story.
Right.
Which a lot of people
and
don't understand that concept, but, you know, it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and most of the time when I'm out
in
the nature part and stuff, you know, whether it's sitting in the middle of a cemetery or sitting, you know, out in the middle of the woods, you know, people don't really bother me too much out there. But
right.
That's the type of places that I go and sit down and write at on a regular basis when the weather's halfway decent.
Very
I
nice.
Have been sitting out there riding in the rain before, you know, at different
mm-hmm.
parks and stuff, because they'll have a little shelter or something, and I'll go sit up underneath the shelter. Nobody else is out there. I can sit there and ride all day long watching the rain fall. So.
Yeah, see, I would like that too.
Those type of things, you know, are places that you can go. Like in my office, when it comes to my office, everything in here is part of me.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing there, you know, it's not like I've got a junk room. Junk goes in the junk room. Well, it's getting ready to go to the storage over on the highway, because of the fact that my junk room is becoming a workout room now. You know, it's just me and my wife and my dog, and we've got a 4-bedroom house. She's got her office. She
right.
put whatever she wants to in there. I've got my office.
Mm-hmm.
I put whatever I want to in here. The junk room was, you know, the other bedroom was just a junk room. Then we've got our bedroom and, you know, everything down there. So, but, you know, everything that when I look around the walls here, everything here has a story to me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything from the old wood Parcheesi game that's hanging on the wall to the old fire place popcorn popper to, you know, to historic things that are around here. You know, the wood clock that came out of the, you know, the original wood square in Nashville and out of the cafe. Yeah. hanging on my wall in here, the pendulum clock that I've got there. You know, it's just things like that that I've picked up, you know, or I've collected over the years that they all mean something to me. You know, to other people they wouldn't mean anything
right.
probably, but to me they mean things to me. So
right.
And that's what I sort of, you know, put around me. Just like Michael talking about all of his movie posters and stuff like that, that, you know, they're different than when we were kids. You know, you advance from your childhood to adulthood, but never lose the childhood.
Right.
If you're a creative, you know, if you're a creative and you've lost your childhood or your sense of wonder and stuff like that, you build it around you again. You know, I was in, you know, in industrial work and big business and everything like that for, you know, 30 years or so. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you lose part of your wonder and your childhood when you're doing that. So, you know, over the last few years, I've been able to come back and say, yeah, you know, I can bring my childhood back. And get
right.
the things that I want in my life instead of what somebody else telling me I have to have in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
right.
You know, the big exotic cars, the, you know, big exotic house, the, you know, all that stuff. I don't need that anymore. You know,
right.
give me my little 1903 Oldsmobile curved dash, goes 30 miles an hour, I'm fine.
And your bicycle, which, yeah.
Well, I was going to say,
you
have the fanciest bicycle of anybody I know. So, I mean, it's a Lamborghini
it's
bicycle.
It's just an ordinary bicycle. It's just an ordinary bicycle.
Well, we see them all the time. That's right. Everybody's going
you know,
on those.
Every day,
you
know.
You're so used to those safety bicycles, when somebody brings an ordinary bicycle around you and everything, you don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
We don't even know how to get up on it, you know. I've yet to ride that darn thing. I've got to try it.
Well, it's daunting. I mean, look at that thing. It's you know.
Not
the easiest. Get on there. I don't know about getting me off there. That's going to be the problem, getting me off there. Might have to tip it
right.
over.
It, there is no problem getting off of it. It'll let you off when it's ready to.
That's true.
Sure.
Michael,
yeah.
you better video this.
It will
Michael
let
take
you
around
off.
On it and give his opinion of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michael needs to grow his legs a little bit longer, I think.
Yeah.
We all have to. Good God. I mean...
Yeah,
it's epic.
Well, the front wheel's only 48 inches, so.
Well, I'll be fine.
The front wheel's only 4 foot tall.
I'm a giant, so I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it is epic, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, it's definitely.
love it. Love it.
It's something else. Yeah,
very
I love
cool.
it. I
well,
love it.
What, getting off the topic, what conventions are any of y'all going to in the next little bit? Or anything?
Well,
where can we find you?
We're kind of bunkered in on SSP stuff. I mean, I'm going to be going to a writers group that was reading Heart of a Lion, and they invited me to come meet with their group after they read it. So, I mean, that's coming up. And but pretty much, I mean, it's just going to be the author's fair coming up within LaGrange, Kentucky. Now Hydra Publications and Tony Acree are running it, and that's going to be probably my next event that I'm going to do, and that's I'm going to have to Google that real quick just to find out, make sure I get the dates right.
I want to say it's April.
Yeah, it's in April.
Yeah.
I've got Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati coming up here in about 6 weeks in March.
I think I have April 14th, 2018.
That sounds right.
At the Grange Community Center YMCA, 10 to 5 p.m., and I think that is it. So, yes.
We'll be there.
That's okay. my that, That's my next. Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, I'm bunkered in doing lots and lots of press work and you know, creative work. So,
well, we've got Raiden in the final stages.
And that too. Yeah, that small little
TV
pilot project. Yes, and that's coming down the
pipe.
And
we're working on a few other things. So. Yeah.
Too antsy, but yeah, we are very close to finishing. So.
Yeah.
And so,
we're kind of holding on here.
You got any more signups coming up, Steven?
Yeah, we want to have free time so we can get Lacey and go and Daniel and go visit Michael and bask in his new workspace.
No, we don't have any signings or nothing set up, Daniel. Not right now. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
we need to get
stuff
set
up. There's just literally so much going out the press right now and all that. We just have to kind of stay on point.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I've got.
But Michael,
you've got
Horehim.
Yeah, Horehim weekend in the Sharonville Convention Center in Cincinnati, March 23rd through 25th. I'll be there with, among other people, you know, Ron Perlman from Hellboy and Sons of Anarchy and whatnot. Beauty and the Beast, of course, the 80s TV series. A lot of the kids from Stranger Things are going to be there. Michael Rooker, Brad Dourif is going to be there. They're having an E.T. reunion with Henry Thomas and Dee Wallace.
Oh, cool.
Robert McNaughton. There's going to be a large reunion there for Dexter.
Oh, wow.
And
nice.
I'm excited that Barbara Hershey's going to be there. Hoping to get something signed from Hoosiers, of course, by her.
Cool.
That'd be neat. That'd be a good one for Daniel to look into is the Horror House.
Yeah, I'm going to be up in that area in April, up at Cincinnati, at the International Steampunk Symposium is what I'm going to up there. And that's the 27th, 28th, I believe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'd really like
to
make it. I know we had talked about it, but yeah.
And then after Horrorhound, I've got the I'll be at the Authors Book Fair as well, and then Maurice Broaddus is firing MoCon back up here in Indianapolis again, and that'll be I think it's the first weekend in May if memory serves.
Yeah, he always does Derby weekend. I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
So. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to see some people that I haven't seen in a while. You know, it's funny because there's so many of us that are you know, here and locally around me, and it's been forever since we've gotten together and done anything because we're just all in our individual projects and and whatnot.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
And Daniel, don't you got something coming up at a Barnes & Noble or something?
Yeah, I've got a book signing and reading and Q&A at Barnes & Noble Vanderbilt in Nashville on May 10th. So that's one place that you'll be able to find my ugly mug at. And then I've got, like I said, International Steampunk Symposium. And then I've had one signing that's been canceled three times now, so I don't know whether I'm going to ever get it done or not, so I'm not even talking about that one anymore.
If it happens, it happens.
If it happens, I'll probably blast it out that week.
Say that. Hey, I'm going here.
Well,
come
out
and visit with me if you get a chance.
Well, one event that we need to do is make a pilgrimage up to see Michael's at the display at the brewery up there. That would be epic. And then we could follow it up with a
definitely
tour of his workspace. After
and
me,
I want to sit in his chair.
And sit in his chair after,
is that from Cincinnati,
after many
Michael
brews at the brewery.
He's not incredibly far.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half from Cincinnati.
Maybe we can plan something when you come up.
Yeah, I'm 2 hours up from Louisville and 3 hours from Lexington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, your distance from us. Woo.
Yeah.
And 15 minutes from Shelbyville, Tennessee, huh?
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, how many days are you staying, Daniel? That'll be the thing, see? We might be able to make it
work. I'll be up there for like 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
I'm going to be up there for the weekend, but then I'm going to take, because it's getting over with at a certain time and everything, I'm not going
right
to drive all the way back to Nashville after being there all weekend long. So I'm going
right
to take a day and stop someplace that night probably.
Well, you
I
may end up stopping in Lexington.
Yeah,
you could stay somewhere.
I'm sorry.
But it's an exciting
not if you're
place
going home.
The land of magic and wonder and bourbon.
Lexington is about 6 hours from my house. And Ohio is only about 6 hours from my house.
Oh, because of the interstate deal. I get you.
Right.
Get you.
And Jack Daniels is only about
one of them's almost
20
a
minutes
line
from
down
his
the
house.
Other one is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack
well,
Daniels
I'm trying to sucker Zimmer into going to the symposium. I would really like to go and be amongst, you know, my peeps. But, yeah, I'd love to go.
Well, that's
okay,
what we need to do is organize like a bus tour where we go and visit Daniel and then go to Jack Daniels and then we go to see Michael and we go to the brewery and then we come to Lexington and visit any one of a million distilleries in Keeneland. It'd be the most we could sell this as a package tour. It would be fantastic.
That is
Star
true.
Chamber show.
That is true.
The tour. Yes.
On the road. On the road with the Star Chamber.
Yeah, on the road.
Cigar and bourbon tour. All right.
Well, as long as we have somebody else driving the bus, Michael, Daniel, myself, and Holly can all indulge in all of the places we visit. It would be fantastic.
That is true. That is true.
Well, I'll be a DD as long as you let me smoke cigars. So.
There you go.
Michael, an idea is born. We always come with great stuff. Yeah, we've still got to work on our vinyl project together as well, but yeah, now we have another thing to add to our list of things we must do.
Going
on the
bucket
list.
Tour.
The distillery tour.
Yeah,
if y'all decide that y'all want to come up for that weekend and everything, let me know.
Yeah.
We'll definitely.
I'm trying to talk Zimmer into it.
Yeah, because
if,
really
if,
like
if you wind up having
Star
time,
show. We are coming to you just outside of Nashville, Lexington, and Indianapolis as far as the co-hosting. So we're covering quite a bit of turf here.
Come on. Do what, Daniel?
I've got a motel room that's already paid for, so, you know.
Okay.
You know, y'all. If y'all wind up having time that weekend, you want to drive up and see some of it, or if you want to stay all weekend long, I'm not really worried about it.
The Daniel Dark Room Party. There you go. Everybody's invited.
No, not everybody.
Not everybody.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. We've done this once before.
We've got to create something attractive enough to get the Judes to leave Breathitt County for the day. We've got to come up with something to lure them out of there for at least a day or two.
Well, I think the on-the-road bourbon tour was pretty good.
Whiskey and bourbon tour might work. But it's also going to be a beer tour because we are going to support the establishment that is now carrying Michael's
books.
Because that's awesome. And give me the name to get it right. I don't want to screw it up. The name of that awesome place.
Scarlet Lane Brewery.
Scarlet Lane Brewery. Give them a plug, and they do the official ale or brew of Horrorhound, right?
Fits
in.
They do Horrorhound Ale, which is the official beer of Horrorhound, and they sponsor Horrorhound Weekend. They're at 7724 Depot Street in McCordsville, Indiana. They're just basically a hop, skip, and a jump away from my neck of the woods.
Imaginarium does not have an official beer. We could call it Michael West Ale and have them develop it.
There you go.
Official Imaginarium Brew, Michael West Ale. Totally willing to do that. We need to talk to them. Work up a good one, Michael.
It'll be dark and bitter.
That's the indie author world in a nutshell. Dark and bitter.
I was gonna say morose. Morose.
Michael
just won
the internet. Michael just won the internet right there, folks. Oh my god.
Oh man.
I think we need a black bourbon. That's what we need.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, actually, because I wonder how it could be done, though, just with the usual golden kind of caramel color. That's cool. That'd be a cool idea.
Yeah. Say black like your soul.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
We'll have King Caesar rolling around on the Ouija board on the label.
The best indie author ale, the official ale of Imaginarium, Michael West Ale. It's dark and bitter. Oh, my God. People would go nuts. People would go crazy over that. Oh, man. We got to follow up on that as well as our – I'm not going to let you off the hook on the vinyl audio book idea, because I want to be on vinyl. But that needs to be pursued for sure.
Oh, you never know what Seven Star Plus is going to come up with. We always got something in the works.
We think out of the box, though. We're not locked into just, we're only going to release just books. Yeah, we could come up with some pretty crazy stuff, and Michael West Ale would crown it. That would be the best. That
would definitely be out there.
Oh, my God. Well, if they turn us down, we still have West 6 Brewery here in Kentucky. So we can.
They might be all over that.
We have backups if they don't want it. So yeah.
and then Daniel's right there by Jack Daniel's. You know.
Oh God, I do have a friend though, and you know who I'm talking about, Holly. Don't say it in the air, but we do have a friend that is a part owner in a brewery. We might be able to pull this off.
That's true.
Michael Westdale.
That's true.
Yes. So it's dark and bitter.
That's possible. Yes, it's very possible.
Oh, man. That would be epic. I would buy it. It'd be awesome.
Oh, man.
King Caesar on the label. That would be classic. Actually, though, I mean, that actually would help sell it. I mean, I can see it in my head already.
Oh,
so
yeah, the
awesome
Ouija board on there and King Caesar rolling around.
King Caesar.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome. See, we come up with good ideas in the Star Chamber show. You get us going, and we will come up with top-selling, great, great product ideas.
It's our creative workspace.
Yeah, this
that's
is
right.
Our creative. Get us together. the meeting of the minds here. So, oh Lord, I hear the collective groans out there from our audience right now. But but no, seriously, I mean, I think people go crazy over Michael Westdale. That's actually, I mean, that would actually be
that's
pretty
a pretty
popular.
Good idea.
Hey, if Iron Maiden can do it, why not Michael West?
There you go.
Yeah, they get.
Oh, speaking of which, I have a new favorite. Speaking of creative spaces, I have a new favorite burger place here in town.
Please don't say McDonald's.
No.
Oh, thank you.
It's called Kuma's Corner.
Kuma's
Corner. And all of the burgers are the original Kuma's Corner is in Chicago, and the Indianapolis one is one of the few that are outside of the Chicago area. But all the burgers, their burgers are you know, wild combinations of things, but all the burgers are named after either heavy metal bands or songs.
Oh my God, we're there.
Oh no,
we're
Steven's going to want to go now.
We're there. See you this weekend, Michael.
Oh boy,
better be ready.
Yeah,
they've got
an Iron Maiden. They got an Iron Maiden burger. They've got a Slayer burger.
Oh dear.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michael,
Steven, I want to stay a few days now.
Oh, sorry, Michael. We're going to be seeing you very shortly and for extended period of time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
You done did it now. Burgers and heavy metal. You
Star
done,
Chamber Show live
done did it
from
now.
Michael's house. Next week, all of our hosts will be there in Michael's house.
We'll be rolling around on the rug with King Caesar.
Yeah, after we hit the brewery, we'll be on the rug with King Caesar.
Film at 11.
Mike will be dictating down every letter that we hit, and he'll come up with his a 10 million selling novel.
There you go.
Remember, Michael, you did this novel to yourself.
Yeah.
Oh God, that would be the adventure of a lifetime. Oh man,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that
awesome.
Sounds epic, though. Oh my God, I've got to go there, Holly. Please make it.
Yeah, we
got
to check.
I'll forget.
Oh, I will. I will. We got it.
I get distracted by all that business stuff, but oh my God, that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It really would. Yep.
Yeah.
And then run by the brewery.
And we can write it off because we're going to be discussing the development of Michael West Ale, so we can write the whole trip off.
That's true. It's a business expense. It is a
business expense. We're developing
yes.
Michael West Ale, and we had to go for a high-level meeting at this this great burger establishment. So, yeah, that's yeah, I can see this is working out perfectly. Oh,
it's a creative
God.
Space, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Steven would use it as a creative
so
space.
Fun. Breweries, burger places, museum.
Good grief, we live in a major city, and, you know, we don't have all this cool stuff.
Yeah, Michael's got it going on.
Man.
Oh,
well,
Lord.
We
well,
have
hey,
horse racing. That's all we have.
Yeah, well, I remember growing up for years, you know, the nickname for Indianapolis was India No Place, you know, because there was nothing here, and now it's you know it's really
booming,
really grown.
And then Michael West emerged, and Indianapolis was inspired, and now good things
what
are
it
happening.
Was.
Yeah, that's the reason.
The only reason.
See, I nailed it. I knew it. Stranger things have happened. Oh, did you get
one? Oh. Which, by the way, we finally got to watch, and we did watch.
Yes, Michael.
The two
seasons. We are 100% caught up. I know
we are
muggles when it comes to TV, but we are caught up on Stranger Things.
Yes.
Well,
and we are so
it.
Happy.
We
I'm telling
love
you.
That
I
show.
It's all 80s. It's 80s. And we're like,
yeah,
oh, my God, we waited this long to watch this. Oh, oh my God. Yeah,
yeah,
it's fantastic. Daniel, it's
oh
good.
My God,
it
is
good.
Awesome. It makes me feel good just to watch everything in that show, every detail they got. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe the creators
in the 80s and stuff, so.
And the creators didn't even get to experience the 80s in full, and they nailed it.
Yeah,
I mean, they were.
The Duffer Brothers didn't even get to experience it fully, but they nailed
they
it on the head.
Experience it fully, but they nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, this is fantastic.
We got about 30 seconds left, so.
30 seconds, guys.
Yeah.
So, yes, please do follow the Star Chamber Show on Twitter and Facebook, and they're both under at Star Chamber Show, both places. So please do follow us next week. We will have another show at 9 p.m. Eastern. So good night, everybody, and take care.
Good night.
Good night.
See you next week. Night.